This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
It just seems like such a long climb for Democrats to overcome any of Trump's nominees. Unless anything dramatically changes, it seems like those nominations look very solid.
When someone sues an organization repeatedly and then gets put in charge of that agency, it's a pretty classic example of the fox guarding the henhouse. Welcome to the bizarre world of the Trump administration, where the fossil fuel industry's favorite son, Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, is poised to run the Environmental Protection Agency. The appointment of a climate change denier like Pruitt to run the EPA affirms, as NYU journalism professor Jay Rosen has put it, that the U.S. government is officially done with being evidence-based. On this week's Sea Change Radio, Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber gives us a closer look at the new head of the EPA, what his appointment means politically, what the repercussions could be for the climate, and how states may be able to protect the environment locally. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber. Rebecca, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
So you recently wrote a piece about the nomination of Scott Pruitt to head the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. The title of the piece is, "Here Are All the Climate Deniers and Oil Flacks Who Love Trump's EPA Pick." So that kind of gives you a little hint on what environmentalists think of Scott Pruitt. Who is Scott Pruitt?
He's Oklahoma's attorney general since 2011. He was a state senator before that, but he's really made a name for himself by challenging a whole slew of Obama initiatives. And the foremost one is environmental regulations, and that's what one area where he's really made a national name for himself by challenging the Obama administration.
And Oklahoma has been kind of in the forefront of fighting environmental protection on many levels. You have the senator from Oklahoma, James Inhofe. You have some major oil and gas interests. It's a big fracking state, I believe. So how has Scott Pruitt injected himself into this struggle to try to keep environmentalists out, if you will?
So Oklahoma is a really big oil and gas state. So that's one important fact to remember here. And it has a bunch of politicians who come from Oklahoma who have, like Pruitt, challenged anything that has to do with climate science and clean energy. And like you said, Senator Inhofe is perhaps the most famous or notable climate change denier in the Senate. He regularly takes to the Senate floor to dismiss the science as a hoax, and he even wrote a book on the subject.
And he's well noted for being the guy who brought that snowball into the Senate floor to say, "See, there's no global warming because I have a snowball."
Yeah, that incident, I think, really put him on the map. He's been doing similar antics for a while, so that's probably what he's best known for today. But the thing is, Inhofe is, I wouldn't say friends with Pruitt, but he has endorsed Scott Pruitt for EPA and has been one of his biggest champions since Trump announced the pick. So I think one telling thing about this nomination is that who Pruitt's friends are and who is rallying around him, and just the fact that Jim Inhofe is one of his allies really tells you a lot about how he could approach the EPA.
One thing I learned in your piece, which I didn't know, is that it wasn't just Oklahomans like Jim Inhofe who have helped tap Pruitt for this post. Jeb Bush kind of put Pruitt on the national map. Maybe you can expand on that.
Yeah, so Pruitt worked with Jeb Bush on his campaign. So in the presidential primaries, he was a policy leader on Jeb Bush's campaign. So now you have, over a year later, Jeb Bush coming out in defense of Pruitt. So in December, he wrote an op-ed, and he's spoken out a few times publicly since, saying that Pruitt is a great pick for the EPA and really countering the attacks on Pruitt. So one of the big ones is that from environmentalists is that he's too extreme to lead the EPA and he is too closely tied to fossil fuel interests. So Jeb Bush has really taken on this role of defending him from those attacks and claiming that it's the far left that's distorting Pruitt's record. There's another few ties between them, and one is an interesting update since losing the primaries. Jeb Bush has joined with a lobbying firm that's for certain oil and gas climate clients, and Pruitt is a very strong ally of the oil industry, so that's another curious connection.
Maybe you can give us an idea of some of these lawsuits that he's led. I mean, we've heard the number, but we haven't really heard the substance too much in the news about what kind of lawsuits he's been leading against the EPA. Maybe you can give us some examples.
So the big one is against the Clean Power Plan. That's Obama's regulations on existing power plants to limit the amount of carbon pollution that they spew. So Pruitt has led a number of attorney generals, states, and the fossil fuel industry in challenging those regulations. And there is a lawsuit currently making its way through the courts. And another one is on the Clean Water Act. There's a lawsuit that's pending on a water rule where the Obama administration was basically updating its definition of what qualifies as under the Clean Water Act and what they can regulate. And a lot of Republicans and certain industry have been up in arms over that rule as well. Those are only two examples of over a dozen lawsuits that he's led against the EPA.
So somebody who's repeatedly sued the EPA is now tapped to run the EPA. What does that mean, not only from a governmental standpoint, but for the environment, Rebecca?
Well, I interviewed a former GOP EPA director, Christine Todd Whitman, a few weeks ago, and she had an interesting characterization of it, that she's never seen someone so dismissive of the EPA who's about to lead the EPA. And I think it's just the critics of Pruitt basically say that there's an inherent conflict here, that a man who has challenged the EPA on pretty much everything it's done, that has been more aggressive on environmental protection and climate pollution, is about to take the helm of it. And it's could cripple a lot of the progress made under the Obama administration, where we have a bunch of these EPA regulations that are fairly new or are tied up in court lawsuits. And so they're not fully on the books yet. It really depends on how an administration would implement it. And the Trump administration does not seem intent on implementing any of these. And one of the many concerns about how Pruitt could lead the EPA or really shrink its role is that he would clash with their career staff as well, who carry out really basic functions of overseeing water and air quality.
People, if I ever can get up off of this old heart-killing floor, Lord, I'll never get out this low no more. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear me singing this old lonesome song. People, you'll know these hard times can't last us so long.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber. So, Rebecca, we know about the Republicans denying climate change, and we are aware of them fighting things like the Clean Power Plan. But the mandate that is given to the EPA to keep our air and water clean, how does that square with Scott Pruitt's view of the world, in your estimation? I mean, his backers are saying this is great for the environment. I don't see how that possibly can be true.
Yeah, there was one interesting point made by an NRDC staffer the other day where he said he couldn't recall a single instance where Pruitt wanted more environmental protection or did anything to advocate for it. So he's on record dismissing climate science, as you said. He also has had some questionable comments on clean air pollution and mercury, for example, which was another big regulation under the Obama administration that has been similarly attacked for being unlawful by conservatives. So the EPA has a huge role beyond regulating carbon pollution. Superfund projects come to mind where they oversee cleanup of these toxic sites. And of course, the Flint water crisis of the last year reminds us that the EPA has a role in overseeing that people have access to clean water. And the Pruitt and Republicans have used that as examples of where the EPA falls flat, but and as an excuse to shrink the agency rather than look at where to fill the holes and fix problems like lead in water.
So we know the quotes they may give saying, oh, well, Scott Pruitt's a terrific pick to protect the environment. But how do they actually rationalize in their own mind, if you can give us their viewpoint? How do people who deny climate change and who think that there are too many government restrictions on oil and gas interests, how do they see a Scott Pruitt protecting the environment in their worldview? And I think it's important to understand the other side's viewpoint here.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question that honestly, I'm not really sure how they see him protecting the environment, because the arguments that they've made that I talked about in this the story that I wrote is a series of politicians and industry connected groups have said Pruitt's going to be great for the environment, and all these attacks are false, that he would be bad for it, but there's never any specifics about how he would be good for the environment. So what all of these statements have in common from fossil fuel allies is that they say Pruitt's going to return the EPA to a rational place in politics, and he's going to shrink the agency's role and return the power to the states.
Has he been for dismantling it? I've heard that as a talking point from the GOP over the years. Or is he more determined to just gut it from the inside out, it sounds like?
I'm not aware of him saying he wants to get rid of the agency, though there are Republicans out there who definitely do want to abolish the EPA. But he has said he wants to refocus it on other areas of and a more sensible protection of the environment. But those kind of sentiments are usually code for I want to gut it from the inside, or I want to slash its budget so it can't fulfill some certain basic duties. So yeah, the rationale tends to be like that states can fill this role that the EPA has for the last 40 odd years, but that ignores the reason why the EPA was created, to fill the gaping holes in state policy and federal policy.
Somebody told me once before, they said that you can never go home again. Once you leave, you take anything just to steer me away from the truth of who I am and what I believe. So I thank them for his 2 cents, with a shake and some sympathy. And I packed up my blue jeans and I headed for the big pie. I'm afraid I'm so bye-bye, black sheep of the family.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber. She has a new piece on Scott Pruitt, who is tapped to be the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Rebecca, let's talk about the politics of this. You're following the Senate hearings that get underway soon on potentially the next Secretary of State, ExxonMobil former CEO Rex Tillerson. It seems pretty hard to even put those words together in one sentence, but that's very interesting from an oil and gas perspective as well. Tillerson will definitely be on the hot seat. What are Pruitt's chances for getting through?
Well, right now, Pruitt's confirmation hearing has not seemed to be quite set. It looks like it could be as early as next week. And the thing about Pruitt's confirmation is it really comes down to a number of red state Democrats who face re-election battles in 2018. So one that is top of the list is Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who is a big coal advocate.
And he was actually rumored to be taking a position in the Trump administration, right?
Yeah, and he has in the past split with Democrats on a number of environmental issues. So he met with Pruitt, I believe it was this week, and then there was a joint statement that came out of the Trump campaign that offered a cautious praise and endorsement of Pruitt. So right now, while environmentalists are fighting Pruitt's nomination, and you have some senators who, actually 6 on the Environment and Public Works Committee, who have requested more details about Pruitt's potential conflicts of interest, you also have red state Democrats potentially splitting.
So what are Scott Pruitt's prospects for confirmation?
Pruitt has pretty good prospects with or without Democrats, given the Republican support for his nomination and the nuclear options existence now, which makes it easier to overcome the filibuster. And and you have even some red state Democrats saying that they would, like Joe Manchin, say that they would endorse Pruitt. So it's looking like, despite the protests from environmentalists and some Democratic senators, that he has a solid shot at being the next EPA head.
Are there any nominees that don't then, under this nuclear option that Democrats put in? Like, we hear that Rex Tillerson may be a tough nominee to get through, but as long as the Republicans all fall in line, can anything stop these nominations?
So Tillerson is an interesting example because he has actually seen, there's been a bit more protest from Republicans than on many of Trump's nominations because of all of the stories coming out on his ties to Russia. And then yesterday, another story broke on an oil deal in Iran, And so there's certainly going to be questions and some pressure at his hearing tomorrow over that. Whether that's enough, I don't know. I can't say if that's enough to overcome his confirmation. But the probably less than his role at Exxon and Exxon's role in fostering climate denial, the Russia stories are really what's becoming more of a controversial story for him.
And to expand on that, ExxonMobil has 5 times more oil and gas interests in Russia than they do in the U.S. And so there's a very strong link between the business that Tillerson ran and a foreign power, which is now being investigated for hacking the 2016 presidential election.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to hear tomorrow if especially some Democratic senators on the committee will press him on the nexus of climate change and those foreign ties and foreign policy, because the only reason he was involved in Russian business and despite sanctions is because of oil development and Exxon's interest in expanding into the Arctic. So I'm curious to see if Democrats really push that tomorrow. I just meant to say in my point earlier that for Republicans, climate change is less of the issue than the connection to a country that is accused of hacking in the U.S. election.
But he probably will get nominated too, if you were to guess.
It just seems like such a long climb for Democrats to overcome any of Trump's nominees. Unless anything dramatically changes, it seems like those nominations look very solid.
Over in Songland morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. Well into my home on Celestia's shore.
Tell mother and I'll fly away. Early one day and I will fly away.
Oh Lord, and when I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Tell mother and
I'll fly away.
Oh, one day and I'll fly away. Oh, Lord, and I'll fly away.
Well, then when I die, and hallelujah, by and by.
Tell brother and I'll fly away. Well, in one of these old mornings, bright and fast,
I'll fly away.
Put that couple on my wings, I try my gutling there.
I'll fly away.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber. So diving back into the EPA, it sounds like the best bet for environmentalists is to work through states to fight back against a dismantling of the EPA. Where are some of the signs of optimism for environmentalists, Rebecca?
Some of the states that have really pushed forward on climate and environment, even in the last few years, are signaling they're going to just really push ahead in kind of despite the Trump administration. So California is a big one on the list where they are pledging to really go hard into renewable energy. You have states like Hawaii and New York who are also considering and have already passed a lot of legislation that encourages renewable growth. And I think in terms of that countering the Trump's EPA, I think you'll see some states go above and beyond what the new federal minimum is. That is unfortunate because you'll also see other states possibly go in the other direction, or at least stay at a certain low bar. The other point there is basically, a lot of businesses have really pushed into renewable growth as well. And I think you see that beyond typical like wind, solar, energy companies, and companies like Google are really investing in renewables. I think Google announced pretty recently that it's going to go 100% for its data centers. So, you're going to see pressure still from all of these sides, even if that's not getting reflected at the federal level. And the final point there is, I think, the international side, that the U.S.'s biggest allies have all signed this Paris Climate Agreement, reached by some 200 countries in 2015. And you saw this in the election, where countries like China were pushing back on Trump's comments about the agreement that he would pull out the U.S. out of this agreement. And European allies have said the same. So it's a really, I think, the international pressure on the U.S. to not completely reverse course on climate action will be another big story in coming months.
Well, it's a little depressing, but it's important work that you're doing. Mother Jones reporter Rebecca Lieber, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Enjoy chatting. Thanks.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Taj Mahal, Skip James, Martin Sexton, and the CBS Trumpeteers. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week, as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.